Okay, first slide, please. From Psalm 66. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. And I'm about to do that. Have you ever tried to stay away from someone you didn't particularly like? I have. And that person was myself in my late teenage years. I knew I couldn't stay away from myself. I felt stuck with me. I never considered suicide. I wasn't that stupid. I started to investigate how to be changed. But I read that personality was largely formed by my age. So I felt stuck. Stuck with myself. My first year in college, I usually ate at a table by myself in the college dining area. I wouldn't sit with other people, and other people wouldn't sit with me. Occasionally, I would eat with my roommate, but we typically argued, usually about political issues. We were ahead of our time. I wasn't very nice to him. I had a very fast metabolism in those days due to an undiagnosed medical condition. And I liked to keep the window open on my side of the dorm room in the cold Wisconsin winter. My roommate closed it one night, and I told him not to do that again. He had a window on his side of the room that he could keep closed. He shouldn't touch mine. What a jerk I was. Who wants to be around a jerk? Not me. The trouble was, I couldn't get away from myself. I also got into a couple of fist fights that year, first year of college. Not someone you want to hang out with. When I finally encountered real Christianity, I saw the possibility of real change in my life, authentic transformation. That was extremely appealing to me, and it still is. I didn't have to be stuck with my old self. I could be a new self by the power of the Holy Spirit. His power was easily sufficient to transform me in fundamental ways. And he has. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I thank God that those old days are long gone, but I still desire more transformation, to be more like him, to really live out my identity in Christ. Okay, now back to our sermon series on Romans. The church in Rome was a great church. This is how the Apostle Paul describes it in the first chapter. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. They're famous for their faith. Yet the Apostle Paul, in his letter to them, writes extensively on faith and grace. We just finished 11 chapters on faith and grace. All of them in Romans. We are about to start 5 chapters on how to live that out. If you get into trying to follow instructions for good Christian living without starting on a foundation of grace, then you are on your way to becoming like a Pharisee. That's what they tried to do. They tried to live out a rule-based system without a proper foundation. If you try to live out the instructions in Romans 12 to 16 without the grace base of Romans chapters 1 to 11, then you're on the same path as the Pharisees. Romans 1 to 11 sets up Romans 12 to 16. The transition is the word therefore in Romans 12, 1. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. You cannot perform well enough to get righteousness or maintain righteousness before God. You and I will never run out of the need for grace. Never. In Romans 12, Paul begins to give specific instructions on how to live. Commands were rare in chapters 1 to 11 as he was teaching on faith and grace. Chapters 1 and 11 could be summed up as the mercy of God in action. Those chapters cover what God has given to us. And now, this is what we give to God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We just sang about offering ourselves as a sacrifice to God. This verse points back to the grace base. The verbs in chapters 1 to 11 of Romans were mainly indicative. They indicate something. They describe what is. This verse also points to how to live it out. It's pointing to chapters 12 to 16, how to live it out. The verbs there are mainly imperative. They describe what to do about it. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, your entire selves. The Old Testament sacrifices needed to be unblemished. Because of God's mercy and grace and your faith in that, you yourselves are an unblemished offering acceptable to God. Furthermore, we are to be a living sacrifice. This is an ongoing process. We need to stay in the state of offering ourselves to God. This is our spiritual worship. This could also be thought of as our reasonable or logical service to God. This worship is not just singing or even going to a church service, but rather what you do with your life. That's worshiping in spirit and in truth. How do we offer ourselves like this? Next verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. The Greek word there actually could be translated as age. Obviously, it means the present evil age, which is from the kingdom of God perspective. Here are four ways the world wants you to conform at this time. These are just examples, but these are four ways that the world is trying to get us to conform to this pattern. Number one, sexual immorality. Since the 1960s, we've been living in the aftermath of what's been called the sexual revolution. Sex between a man and a woman was given by God in Genesis 2, before the fall. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful gift in the proper context of marriage. But we've mutilated it in various ways. Number two, the desire to be rich. The world teaches us that we need lots of stuff to make us happy, so we need lots of money. Just this past week, I ran into the acronym HENRY. Anybody know what a HENRY is? High earner, not rich yet. HENRY, high earner, not rich yet. These are people who have high incomes, but a paycheck comes in, they spend it right away. So they can't get rich because they just keep spending. They're attracted by the pattern of the world is you need stuff to make you happy. You need this, you need that, if you're really going to be happy. So, here's what the Bible says about that. From 1 Timothy chapter 6. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Enough said. Number three, an intense political focus. this country, the world, is just separating into political camps. This is when political issues occupy your mind a lot, even to the point of becoming more important than the faith. I've seen this dynamic create havoc among believers, even separating them. They can think, I can't fellowship with that person with those terrible political views. They are my evil enemy. This is what Jesus said. And at the beginning of the worship service, Luke quoted another passage where he says basically the same thing. This is from John 13. Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Instead of doing that, the world wants us to separate into political camps. Not identify by Jesus, but identify by your political positions. And you're going to stick to them, and you're going to argue for them, and the world wants to push us in that direction, to separate us. That's the pattern of the world that we should not conform to. And the last one, the fourth one I'm going to mention, there's more than just these four, but these are four hot ones right now, as far as I can see, is follow your heart. This is really popular today and manifests in all kinds of ways. Follow your heart. Should we really trust what our heart wants above all else? Here's what the prophet Jeremiah says in his chapter 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. The heart is deceitful. Who is it deceiving? It deceives us. Do we really want to follow our heart when we can get deceived at any point, at any important point? We need to trust something higher than our own hearts. Back to Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Just talked about that. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Renewing our minds will allow authentic transformation in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can we do this? Here are two good ways for you and I to renew our minds. Number one, engage with the Scriptures. Come and listen to sermons based on Scriptures. Look, read, study, meditate on them yourselves. Here's what it says in Hebrews. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Scriptures will take off the mask that we put on. The Scriptures will light up the shadows that we hide in. The Scriptures will strip away the false self that has deceived us, so that our minds really can be renewed. That's number one. Number two, set your mind properly. Going back to Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How do we do that? Well, we could start with what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now start thinking about the things that make you angry or occupy your mind with things that are disgusting. Or worrying. If you think about it, worry is really meditation on what could go wrong. If that's where your mind goes, that's not going to renew it. Okay. The goal of this mind renewal is transformation. That's what I was after, and that's what I'm still after. Living a transformed life. A transformed life can really live a life of eternal significance. So allow the Holy Spirit to transform you by the renewal of your mind. And that will result in discerning what the will of God is. If you really want to be a follower of Jesus, then you need to know God's will for you and do it. So pull away from the pattern of this world, the present evil age, and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Here's both those verses together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Are you interested in authentic transformation of your life? I know I am. I also still have a lot of room for improvement. How about you? Would you like a better version of yourself? Then present your bodies, your entire self, as a living sacrifice. Here's part of it. Next verse, please. Oh, that's the last one. Okay. All right. We'll skip that. Present your bodies, your entire self, as a living sacrifice. And then stay on the altar. No crawling off. That's the problem with a living sacrifice. It tends to crawl off. Living sacrifice means the rest of your life you stay a sacrifice. No wandering off. No more insisting on your own way, as opposed to God's way. No more conforming to the world's way. Does that seem too hard? There's grace for that. Grab a hold of that grace by faith. And then discern God's will for you. Then live a life of eternal significance. Please rise. Lord, we come to you looking for authentic transformation in our lives. We still want to be who we are, but a better version, a transformed version. We really would like to become the best version of ourselves. So, Lord, we present our entire selves to you as a living sacrifice, as our worship. Lord, we ask that you would help us to renew our minds, that we would be transformed, an authentic transformation, so that we'd be able to discern what your will is for us. So that when we come to the end of our lives on this earth, we can look back and be pleased with it, pleased with our lives, not wasting them, not just doing our own thing and trying to be rich or comfortable or entertained, but rather, Lord, we want to look back and see a life that really means something to you, a life of eternal significance. So we offer ourselves to you now, Lord. Come, send your Spirit upon us. Thank you, Lord, for how you've showered us with your mercy. We thank you that you've brought us safe thus far. And now in your time, Lord, lead us home and be with us on this journey, this pilgrimage that we are all on. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.